Hi, my name is Pat Crosscomb. I'm here with Susan Hempenstall for another edition of The Sidelight. So welcome.
Thank you, Pat.
Great.
Happy to be here.
Great to connect with you again.
Yes.
The focus of this podcast is all about technology and adopting technology. So I first met Susan over a year ago now when she was on her board and they were looking for a technology solution to help them manage the administrative side of the board. So I'd like to start out by asking Susan to tell us a little bit about her background and her experience on the board, and then we'll dive into the adoption of technology.
Great. Thank you, Pat. Yes, I did meet Pat 18 months, almost 2 years ago now, and I'm an IT professional. I've spent close to 30 years in information technology. As a woman, it's a challenge at times. I'm also an IT educator. I teach at a local college. And the reason I ran into Pat was because I joined a board of directors for a local nonprofit organization. They were in a pickle at that time. And what had happened was they had a turnover at the executive level. And one of the executives happened to own the Google Drive where all the board documents were stored. And she basically wanted her drive back. So they found me as an IT director, and I met Pat when I was actually shopping for board software.
So what did it take to convince the board that they needed some kind of tech solution to help them?
There were a few main issues, Pat. What I did was I put my IT hat on. And I ran it as a little bit of a project and ran a scope on, okay, so what are your requirements and what is your outcome for this? Because we were at a perfect spot to change from Google Drive, the notion of storing all our information on somebody's Google Drive, which I don't think is very safe. And having been in IT for so long, I realized, you know, there's got to be an app or some sort of software for that. So let's have a look. And of course, when I canvassed the board, they were talking about Dropbox and all those items. And I'm kind of getting squicky at that point going, I've never had really a good experience with Dropbox. And I'm not sure that that's what they really need. So what I did was I canvassed them and I said, okay, so what are your main issues? And the main issues were threefold. First, the documentation had to be migrated from Google Drive. That was a non-starter. We had to get it off there. Second, the new location must be associated with a generic board role, not as an individual, because again, we didn't want to get back into this Google Drive issue when somebody else turns over from the board. So nobody could own it. We had to have a central repository. And the third part was because we were a nonprofit, we wanted to keep costs to a minimum. So this is what drove us to search for a software. And I was convinced that there had to be a board software that was Canadian, that kept our information in Canada, preferably local, and that was, you know, cost efficient, and we could leave our information there and trust that it would be, you know, taken care of, looked after, backed up, and that we could all access it.
So then how did you get the job to find a solution?
Basically, if, I don't know about, I know you're from condos, so you have a condo background, but with nonprofits, there are not a lot of IT specialists that are offered to be volunteers on a board of directors for a nonprofit. The cause, the social, not that they're not social, but the social services and the IT don't often overlap that way. So when they get an IT director, it's like, okay, if you know IT, what can you do for us?
So basically, you were the only one that had the techie background that was deemed the expert to go find a solution.
Or that would almost admit it. Like, I did not want to admit it, but you know, they come from all walks. And often you'll see a lot of fundraiser types on the boards, and you'll have somebody who's in government, a lot of government people, lawyers, people who work in social services. But very seldom you get somebody that's kind of hardcore IT that's on a board. So this was like, okay, you run with it. And I thought, yes, I could run with it and just choose something, but that's not the way things work in IT. We do a comparison, at least three products side by side. So first we look at our main issues, we get our priority requirements for a new system, and then we look at three possible solutions, three or more. It's like what I tell them is that you can't tell the right time with two watches. You need a third one. Okay? So we start there, and that kind of sticks with people. So what I did was I went out and I shopped. Now, I did three board softwares, but I also did Dropbox. So on this one, I did a fourth one because they were so convinced about Dropbox. And
so what was on your spreadsheet? I can see that you have a spreadsheet in front of you. What are some of the key comparative items that you were looking at?
Okay, yeah, fair game, Pat. I always have a spreadsheet in front of me. I think the first time we met, I had a spreadsheet.
You did.
And the second time we met, I had a different spreadsheet. Yes, I have my spreadsheet. This is the final version of the spreadsheet, by the way. So I finally did get it finished. Yes. So what I had, in answer to your question, I had a list with a vendor. So I had the Dropbox business version. And I had three board softwares, of which BoardSpace was one. The next column, I said, is it in Canada? Now, these board software that I contacted, one said, in future we will be. And I thought, oh, okay, so you're breaking into the Canadian market. Well, future, you know, anyway, they wanted the business, but they were willing to say in future. And I said, well, maybe we'll, you know, I'll write that down. Storage was another one. The board, some people on the board who knew about Dropbox, and that was kind of the, you know, the out there term at that time. Well, let's go Dropbox. I don't think they realized that there's only a 2 gig storage limit. And when I assessed the documents that they had on the person's Google Drive, we were already at 2.63 gigs. So we were a little bit over that, and it would have cost us more in the pricing, which was the next column. What is your pricing? So I contacted these companies, and I found that they ranged anywhere from 1,000 US, 1,100 US a year, to upwards of 7,000 a year. And I thought, wow, that's a lot. And I'm gonna have a hard time selling that. Another restriction was the number of users. Most said 20. BoardSpace, of course, you know, I'm telling you, but it was unlimited. And then file retention. Some of them, like Dropbox, I don't know if people realize, but the retention is 120 days. And then you recall versions. And I don't know that people are aware of what exactly that means or how difficult it is to get your documents back. And of course, BoardSpace was indefinite.
How long should boards be keeping their documents for?
That's probably something that is more under your expertise than mine, but we did do, I have done this great boards software. I've been trained in the board, and there were lawyers on site on the board. So basically, as long as you should is the answer, which is a little bit vague, but you know yourself when you get into these things. I know I had a condo and they had somebody survey our chimneys, for instance, an engineer didn't do it properly, ended up having to go back and redo these, and there's now a lawsuit in. Well, that survey initially was done 3 years ago. So how long do we keep the documents? Again, depends on the document, but I'd say the longer the better.
Well, there certainly are some legal requirements legislated by the body that legislates a particular kind of nonprofit. So financial typically is 7 years because you file tax returns.
Good to know. Yes.
Minutes are generally considered forever. Keep them all forever.
Oh, okay.
Things like for condos, reserve fund studies. Well, you need to have certainly three or four or five previous ones. Governance documents, well, you should always have your governance documents and you should always know what the original ones were. So yes, and then correspondence and other things is definitely as long as you should keep them a long time.
Yes, because that makes sense.
The example is when you go looking for something, because it's only when you have a problem, then you realize you can't find anything. So be proactive, keep them. Then when you need them, they're there.
So what you say makes perfect sense, and what I hear now is when I'm looking at my spreadsheet that I should have put a couple of stars for emphasis on file retention. Yours was indefinite, others were not, the two other board space softwares were non-committal, and Dropbox was of course the 120 days. And what you said too, I did end up taking PDF copies of email correspondence and putting those on board space as well.
Yes. So we met and we discussed, I know I had a chance to pitch board space, and so then you went away. How did you convince your board, first of all, to make the commitment to software, and then I guess how did you convince them to go with Boardspace?
That was the easy part, Pat. Boardspace basically sold itself. You came up tops on the vendor in Canada, yes. Storage unlimited, yes. Pricing phenomenal, thank you. And users unlimited and file retention indefinite. Another couple of issues we had was, or that sold the board, were your background. You have a background on condo boards, so you have board experience. You also have experience as a volunteer in the community, a lot of community service. You're basically a straight up guy, Pat. You're just, you're there. And you were very honest about how you developed Boardspace, what you developed it for, and when you gave me that first kick in the top, you know, kick the tires with it, and you gave me that first demo, I was sold. And as an IT person, I can tell you anything that's that simple to use, you can sign in with your own email address. They can't not adopt that.
So time went on and the board started using it. Mm-hmm. I'm always curious about how the individuals make that transition. So in the very early days, what were some of the maybe the small barriers for particular individuals? Like what caused them? Why were some people reluctant to get started? And then how did you overcome that?
Well, the first actually funny story about that. We tried to get you in for a demo, but the board timing was tight and so on, you said, oh, you go ahead and demo it. So I tried to demo it, but they had one laptop that would sign in and it didn't have a mouse. And I'm very challenged without a mouse. And I kept doing this, somebody running at this person a mouse. So I got a mouse, I got signed in and I gave them a demo on the screen. At the board meeting, I was allowed 5 minutes, and once they saw it, they were convinced. The person that was convinced the most was the secretary. It was the minute taking, the structure of it. Those who did not want to sign in were, I think that was the most resistance, was, oh, do I have to sign into another app? When they realized these reply all emails with endless attachments and the big stack of papers that we had to read through, when it took care of those, but they were all on board then.
So I can certainly understand why the secretary, the recording secretary, would be the keenest. How long did it take these sort of less keeners to get going? Was it like a couple of months or?
I'd say one or two board meetings, which is a couple of months because the board meets every month. Yes. So the papers kind of diminished as we got through to the second month. Yes.
When you think about the little bit of reluctance that some people have, understandably, it's a change. It's differently. Any suggestions as to how another nonprofit might be able to encourage everyone to get started faster?
Yes, I think there are a couple of points to get started faster and get their stuff off those drives. I don't know that they realize that being an IT person and yourself being an IT person, we know that, you know, Dropbox has its limitations, shared Google Drives have their limitations, anything that has a personal aspect, how private is it? Can anybody view it? Is it secure that way? What about when somebody else takes over? You have other people viewing it. I think that's one of the huge... one of the biggest reasons they should adopt this technology is it has to be a central repository that's neutral, that you can assign tasks and functions to. So the recording secretary has access to this and that. The executive committee can have their own committee that nobody else can see those documents. Because besides being a need to know out in industry and out on boards and with information management, my own theory is that there's also a need not to know. And I think that Boardspace honors that need not to know. And I think it's something that's quite a bit overlooked. And having this central piece of software to manage all your documents, it's a perfect way to protect that need not to know.
So now I know you've left the board, but the board is continuing to use Boardspace.
Yes.
Can you describe maybe a before and after picture so that we can understand better what the board looked like and behaved like before they started using BoardSpace, and now it's nearly, you've renewed your subscription, so it's about 18 months maybe using BoardSpace, mm-hmm. I think.
Yes, as we were, you know, we've discussed this, and I think this is a point worth repeating, is that there are a couple of aspects to a board of directors. There's a content aspect and there's a relationship aspect. And the relationship aspect is the relationship between the volunteers, the clients, the operations people. And BoardSpace takes care of the content. BoardSpace is an administrator for the content. It holds all this content so you don't have to worry. So what was a board meeting like before? Relationship. How are you doing? I haven't seen you in a month or so. And, you know, we've got food going and we've got all these relationships and we've got this pile of paper in the middle. And it's like, here, did you get your board report? Did you get this? Did you get your operations report? Everybody's seen this. Did anybody read this before we came to the meeting? Well, it was on the reply all of the email. It kind of got buried at the bottom and I look at it on my iPhone. Probably not. So I'm looking at it madly in the board meeting. After BoardSpace, okay, we have structure. BoardSpace has a timer. Meeting started, 6:01. Are we following our agenda? Yes. So by managing the content and keeping it all structured, you're also managing those relationships. And what I found too was if you have an item that is 10 minutes, they look up and say, look, it's 10 minutes on the timer, we gotta move on. So it reduces that, the socializing within the board meeting itself, and it forces you to stay strictly content driven. I mean, there's plenty of time for socializing. That's not, you know, it's not a bad thing, but keeping the content structured and making sure that all the documents are in one place and that everybody's paying attention, that's what board meetings are like now. Very focused, disciplined, and structured.
That's a very interesting indirect effect from using a technology like BoardSpace. It does more than just provide, what was the term you used, a skeleton?
Scaffold.
A scaffold. Yes, I love that, a scaffold. So it does more than simply provide a scaffold. It's also got a almost like a social aspect to it.
Yes.
It's encouraging structure, focus, keeping mm-hmm. on time, moving forward. Oh, that's really great. I love that.
Oh, I love BoardSpace. It's one of the most wonderful products for non-IT people that can appreciate what IT can really do. And especially when it comes to those privacy issues, the concern over that, the governance issues, and the IT issues themselves. I mean, it can do all that. And I think it's committee work. When you put committees on there, that is one of its strengths. The fundraising committee, they are those marketers and those social people. And I've never seen a committee use apps so well and software so well. They were actioning and sending out things and little meetings and storing documents and everything. They were one of the most accurate users. But then again, they use customer relationship management databases. They use CRM. They use fundraising software. And they would not live without BoardSpace. They could meet through it. And they did that. They actually were all signed on. They were on a conference call and they were meeting through BoardSpace, taking the minutes and watching the active minutes as the person was typing. Yes.
What advice would you give another board who was starting to think about adding technology to their nonprofit? The kinds of advice that would, you know, encourage them to take the plunge, to get started. Like what is it that, because it's a change, and anything that's a change is hard. So how could you maybe help them over that initial hurdle of, oh, we're not too sure?
Oh my gosh, you have to do it. You cannot know life. How did you know life before your iPhone? How did you know life before you had a calendar stored on there with reminders? This is all offered at the board level. Mm-hmm. It takes care of all your content. It is another person on the board. It's an administrator that manages all that for you. Can you tell me on a board, when is your IT contract coming up for renewal, and you'll need that $8,000 to $10,000 payment in 3 months. How do we know that? Well, somebody has it as a BF, a bring forward item somewhere. But when it's on a calendar reminder in board space, you got that heads up. You've got time to go out and do your due diligence and shop for those three suppliers, compare them, and make that decision. Make an informed decision with the board. Board space, cost effective. You can't beat it. It's worth its weight in. Does it weigh anything? I don't know.
It's worth its weight in fights.
It's definitely worth its weight. worth its weight in efficiency and structure. And you know, on a board of directors, we I think you and I are both experienced directors on boards of directors. We're both experienced directors. But what we can forget is that the directors are volunteers, and many of them are new. So having that tightly structured administration piece takes away a lot of that newness from them. They just fall into place. They can sign onto board space. They can see the documents they're supposed to see. They can participate. They have access to the minutes. And what does it cost you? Just your email sign in, mm-hmm, and you're there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You don't have to wait to the next board meeting or wait for a reply all email with a document attachment or ask for the document. You can just go in and see that. You can get yourself prepared for those meetings.
So now that you've finished your term on this board, are you actively looking to be on another board?
Maybe not straight away, but it is one of the most rewarding things I've done. The best part about the board, being on a board, especially volunteering, is that people are volunteering for a reason, and they are there to get stuff done. Mm-hmm. So it is very active, it is very busy, and they do stuff. If you work in a day job and you get into that mundane rote, you know, where you go in every day and you do this and you have coffee and you socialize and you get your work done, that's fine. But when you're on a board and you're volunteering, you're there to really get the work done. And you're all there with the same purpose and you all want to work. So having a board software just facilitates that. You can divide things up into committees and you can all access it at any given time. So the board is much more than just that 3 hour a month meeting. It's on all the time. It's on as much as you want it to be. You can converse, you can have sub meetings, you can have committee meetings, you can exchange data, you can give each other action items. You're not just confined to that meeting room 3 hours a month.
Yes, I can't really remember what life was like before the internet, but certainly I didn't grow up, neither you and I grew up having internet, email, iPhones, anything like that. Technology has really, in my humble opinion, improved our lives so much and made our lives so much easier that I can't imagine going backwards. Mm-hmm. But it's been great having a chance to sit down with you and catching up after we haven't really connected for quite a while, and thank you so much for your time and your expertise. I'm sure other directors will find your expertise very valuable, so thank you very much.
Oh, thanks for having me, Pat. It's wonderful. I so much enjoyed using the product, and I'm here with you talking about it.